piece is going too fast, I would say. I was amazed to hear it's already the fifth day, yet it's true, we're over half of the feast. So, has God ever given instructions that can cause his creatures to suffer? Is God cruel? If God is a God of love, why would he give laws that seem cruel? This is a sermonette about the law of retaliation, that is, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And the first point I want to make is whether this law is to be taken literally, or that it means that a just financial compensation should be paid. By the way, this will be a sermonette in two parts. I hope to give the second part tomorrow. Let's turn to Exodus 21, verses 12 to 14. Exodus 21, verse 12. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor, to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. So, here we see a basic principle of righteous judgment. It makes a huge difference whether you kill someone by accident, unintentionally, or if you kill him with premeditation. That's murder. The result is the same, someone dies a violent death, but the punishment is very different. This distinction between manslaughter and murder is still made today by most countries around the world, maybe all countries. However, there are also huge differences between God's justice and man's justice. In God's system, the one who had caused a mortal accident had to flee to one of the six cities of refuge and had to stay there probably for many years until the high priest died. We can read about this in Deuteronomy 19. 19th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 1 to 10. When the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall prepare roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. And this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, notice, unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes the neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. Yes, the avenger of blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall separate three cities for yourself. Now if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three, lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you. So here again we see the difference between unintentionally killing someone and murdering someone. Now let's turn to Numbers 35, another passage that is talking about the cities of refuge. Numbers 35, verses 26 to 28. Numbers 35, 26. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. So clearly, God doesn't take killing someone by accident lightly. They had to leave their house and city in order to move to one of the cities of refuge, and probably had to stay there for decades without ever leaving the city. But God doesn't allow retaliation in this situation. Now, in our modern society, and especially in traffic, you can easily have accidents. For instance, a car accident, let's say a little child runs across the street, and just at the point when you are arriving there and you're driving the below maximum speed, let's say 30 miles an hour, you have only 1/10 of a second to react, so no time to stop, the child runs under your car and dies. Well, the law, you are not responsible of the death of the child. Actually, the child has killed itself unintentionally. So this law of fleeing to a city of refuge will not be applicable in this instance, because it's the child that caused the accident, not you. But if you murdered someone, the punishment was a death penalty. Let's read that again in Exodus 21:14. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. So this is the first example of retaliation, life for life. Clearly, this passage doesn't allow the interpretation that a death penalty can be replaced with imprisonment or a financial penalty. Of course, the death penalty had to be pronounced by the judges. No one was allowed to avenge himself without the consent of the judges. In verses 18 and 19 of Exodus 21, we see another example where God does not permit retaliation. Verses 18 and 19. If men contend with each other, and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but is confined to his bed, if he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of his time, and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. First of all, notice that verse 18 begins with the little word if. Now, does this mean that it is all right with God that men contend and fight with each other? No. God is simply explaining what penalty men risk if and when they decide to settle their disagreements by fighting. So here in this case, verses 18 and 19, no one gets killed in the fight, but one gets seriously wounded so that he is confined to his bed. His injuries heal after a certain time. The one who wounded him has to compensate him for the loss of his income during the time that he was unable to work, and also for the expenses of his treatment until he is completely healed. This could be quite expensive if the injuries take a long time to heal. So rather than approving of men fighting with each other, God is pointing out what the dangers are of such a fight, and he actually tries to dissuade men from fighting. Now let's turn to verse 22. If men fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So if the baby is born prematurely, but survives, and turns out to be healthy, a punishment is imposed by the husband as approved by the judges. God's word doesn't specify what kind of punishment this should be. Obviously, retaliation is impossible in this case, even if the wife of the other man would be pregnant too. God doesn't want the children to be punished for something their father did. We see this principle in Ezekiel chapter 18. I think we all know these verses. Ezekiel 18, verses 4 and 20. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Again in verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So, but let's go back to Exodus 21. Again, Exodus 21, the next verse, verse 23 to 25 now. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So here it is, life for life, eye for eye, etc. The law of retaliation. Now, I come from a background in the Worldwide Church of God, and we were told that this passage is not to be taken literally, that it is actually talking about a financial and monetary compensation that should be paid. That is, the value of an eye should be paid for an eye, the value of a tooth should be paid for a tooth, and so on. In this regard, they simply followed the Jewish oral law, as explained in the Jewish Encyclopedia. But are they right? Let's turn to Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24, verse 17. Leviticus 24, 17. Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Well, this is quite a short verse. This verse seems to say that the death penalty applies to any killing of a human being, whether it was intentional or not. But we know that scripture cannot be broken, and that it's here a little, there a little. You can look that up in Isaiah 28, verse 10. So Leviticus 24, 17 cannot contradict Exodus 21, what we just read in verses 12 to 14. So the killing referred to in Leviticus 24, 17 must be premeditated. Murder, so that's, it's talking about murder only. Let's continue reading in Leviticus 24, verse 18 to 20. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good, animal for animal. If a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. Now again, the basic biblical principle of making a distinction between harm done unintentionally or harm done with premeditation remains valid at all times. So verses 19 and 20 apply only to someone who intentionally disfigures someone else. They do not apply to accidents that cause permanent disfigurements. And these verses apply only to disfigurements, not to injuries that heal afterwards. after a certain time, as we saw earlier. So this is actually talking about cruel people who take pleasure in intentionally mutilating someone, cutting off their hand, for instance, or their ear. Fortunately, such cruelty is not very common in our prosperous societies, but this was common practice in recent civil wars in Africa, and I'm afraid it may still be going on right until this very day. Anyway, we were told by the Worldwide Church of God and its offshoots that the law of retaliation was never applied literally in the Bible. Again, is this true? No, it's false. Let's turn to Judges, the first chapter. Judges, the first chapter. Verses 4 to 7. Judges 1:4. Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. So Adonai Bezek had cut off the thumbs and big toes of 70 kings. Now, do you think that these were 70 accidents? No, of course not. Adonai Bezek was apparently a cruel sadist who found pleasure in disfiguring others. Notice his reaction. As I have done, so God has repaid me. This sounds to me as if he admits that he deserved his punishment, and that he begins to realize how wrong his actions were. So the Jews simply applied God's instructions in Leviticus 24, verses 19 and 20 that we just read, correctly, as well as verse 22. Let's go back to Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24, verse 22. You shall have the same law for the stranger and for one from your own country. I am the Lord your God. Adonai Bezek was a stranger indeed, but the same law applied to him. Now, was this a cruel punishment imposed by a harsh God? Should we show more love and compassion for sadists than God does? No, I think not. Let's suppose for a minute that those claiming that Leviticus 24 and Exodus 21 are really talking about the financial compensation, that they are right. Then I ask, how much should it cost to cut off, let's say, someone's ear intentionally with premeditation? Should it cost $10,000? $100,000? $1 million? Should it simply be the value of an ear? Or should it also depend on how rich the offender is? If a poor unemployed guy cuts off your ear, maybe it would only cost him $1,000, which he wouldn't get anyway because he's poor. But if Bill Gates cuts off your ear, well, maybe a compensation should be $1 billion. Who knows? Let's say the value of an ear is really fixed at, let's say, $500,000, regardless of how rich or how poor the person happens to be. Well, someone like Bill Gates or another billionaire, he might say, well, you know, I really enjoy cutting off people's ears. And I make $1 million a day, so if I spend $500,000 a day cutting off someone's ear, then I can have my pleasure every single day and cut off someone's ear every day. Well, quite frankly, that doesn't seem quite righteous to me. And of course, he would flush it down the toilet so that they can't reattach it in the hospital. But treating him the same way he treated others, by cutting off his own ear, is much more likely to make him think twice before disfiguring others. Now let's turn to the third passage in the books of Moses that is mentioning the law of retaliation in Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy 19, verses 16 to 21. Deuteronomy 19:16. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days, and the judges shall make careful inquiry, and indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Again, this is to be taken literally. I feel that false witnesses get away with it far too easily in Belgium, and I don't know about here in the United States, but it's probably the same here. If this would still be applied in our justice system today, there would be far fewer false witnesses. And also this passage so shows why this seemingly cruel punishment is imposed. Those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not commit such evil again among you. So, in conclusion, the law of retaliation is to be taken literally, but applies only to premeditated violent acts that cause either death or incurable injuries. We should not try to be more righteous or more loving than God by showing mercy to criminals committing such heinous crimes. Hopefully tomorrow I will go to the Greek scriptures and say what Jesus Christ has to say about the law of retaliation.